speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this November 26, 2018, the Monday after Thanksgiving. I hope you had a nice vacation, time with your family. I certainly did. It was great to just spend time with the family. Stay away from social media, and I may be away from social media for a long time because of things I'm going to say today. I learned a new word over the weekend, dead naming. Dead naming. If you don't know what that is, stay tuned to the broadcast. I'm going to tell you what that is and how that can get you killed on Twitter. And I don't care, because I'm not going to say 2 plus 2 equals 5. Sorry, Jack, you're not going to control my life. Even before I saw this thing about dead naming, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I saw this tweet from Ann Coulter. And she said, do you think people voted for Trump because of his policies or because of his charming personality? And I said, you know, I usually agree with Ann Coulter's assessment. I certainly agree that President Trump needs to be more forceful on immigration. I'm sad to see that the anchor baby issue only comes up before the election and then is promptly dropped after the 2016 election and the 2018 election. That is a key issue that has to be addressed. But I think his hand is being forced into doing the right thing at the border with this invasion. Democrats are saying that it is a stunt. We've heard this for a long time. Maxine Waters still hasn't noticed what is going on, even though she's not very far from the border there in California. She's still saying, this is a stunt. This is President Trump, a ploy by President Trump. No, it's not. And we're going to talk about what is happening with Invasion USA. But, when I was talking to my wife about what Ann Coulter said, I said, I think people appreciate the fact that President Trump is pushing back on political correctness. I said, I think the core existential issue to us is not even the border. That is a very important issue. And certainly it will destroy this country. It is destroying this country. It is destroying our culture, our land. It's okay. The only immigrants that the left hates are pilgrims. The pilgrims are horrible because the pilgrims came here and destroyed this paradise that the Indians had. You know, they never had war, they never had slavery, they never had disease before we came, right? In the liberal imagination. But of course, we're told that the pilgrims brought disease. Of course they did. They didn't know. They didn't know how disease was transmitted. They didn't know anything about germs. So they brought some new diseases. There wasn't any immunity here. Wiped out large areas. There was also a massive arrival of people with a different culture and a different system and a different language. And eventually they swamped the people that were here. One way or the other, that was going to happen. Some Indians realized it was going to happen. Well, that's one of the reasons why they fought back. Now, that was supposed to be noble. And of course, over the Thanksgiving weekend, we saw a missionary murdered by a slew of arrows shot through him by people he was trying to reach. They didn't like people coming into their country illegally. They're not going to be prosecuted, evidently, either. And yet Ocasio-Cortez tells us that the people coming here, she says they're refugees, like the Jews who are escaping the Nazis. Well, I'm sorry, Ocasio-Cortez. The Jews who are escaping the Nazis didn't flee into Europe carrying Nazi flags. These people, as President Trump pointed out, are carrying the country's flags. They're not refugees. And so I said to my wife, I said, this is the key thing about President Trump. He's not caved to political correctness. And we have to understand that the existential threat to our country right now is coming in the threat to free speech. And the tool that they're using to silence free speech is political correctness. That is far more important to them right now than, frankly, banning the Second Amendment, is to destroy the First Amendment. And we even have some idiots who call themselves conservatives and libertarians who applaud it as saying, well, that's simply the free exercise of the privileges of massive corporations. Nothing to see here. Move on. We're not going to move on. We're going to talk about that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this November 26, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We have, as I tweeted out over the weekend, on my probably soon-to-be-deleted Twitter account, because everybody is being deleted off of Twitter lately. We just had a congressional candidate who's run a couple of times for Congress. Of course, it's going to kind of impact any future runs for Congress. They came very close to winning one of these races. But, of course, he's been banned. He doesn't know why. Ironically, last time he was speaking in public, he went on the Tucker Carlson show and was talking about social media censorship. He has no idea why he's been censored. I do. I know precisely why he's been censored. And it is the existential issue to us. Now, we're going to talk today about the border. That is an existential issue as well. But before that is really going to happen, before the left can push this information war on us and win this information war about what's going on at the border, or win the information war to ban our guns or whatever, they have to take over our free speech. As Hillary Clinton had said some time ago, it is an information war and we're losing it. We've had people with military-industrial complex testify before Congress and say, we are losing the information war. We have to silence the cannons on the social media battlefield in order for us to win this. And that's precisely what they're doing. I tweeted out last week a Newsweek reporter who made the ridiculous statement, the insane statement, saying all these people with AR-15s, from what I can tell, they're all mass murderers. And the few who aren't are paranoid nuts. Well, she got a lot of kickback from that. That was in response to what Joe Biggs had begun when he got these Democrat politicians to say, well, we'll use bombs, we'll use nuclear weapons against anybody. If we want to confiscate your guns, we will. And if you try to resist us, we'll bomb you. And so that began a debate. She chimed in on that debate, this Newsweek reporter, also a commentator on MSNBC. And she said, well, AR-15 people are mass murderers or paranoid lunatics. And so a lot of people had something to say about that. I had something to say about that. So she deleted that tweet. And then she said, I have gotten 4,000 responses to this tweet, which she deleted because she couldn't defend it. That's the way the left responds to all this stuff. They can't win a debate. They lie to your face about this stuff. And when you call them out on their lies, when you call them out on their insanity, on their paranoia, then their answer is to silence you. And so she said, I've gotten 4,000 tweets on this, and I have reported them to these two organizations, ROBOT, that's spelled R-H-O-B-O-T, and Secure Democracy. Now, Secure Democracy is an organization led by Jamie Fly, who was bragging about the fact that they could identify people as bots, and they could then get them taken off of Twitter. ROBOT is an organization out of Indiana University. By the way, the scientists they brought in to lead that algorithm, they have an algorithm, they have a bot to identify bots. How about that? And they're being used, like the Democrats in the past have used Southern Poverty Law Center to identify people as hate groups because they don't like what you have to say. If you're a Christian group and you believe in traditional marriage between one man and one woman, that qualifies you as a hate group in the eyes of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they have, as a result of their labeling, had people try to kill people at the Family Research Council. Had a man go in there with a gun. He's going to kill them because they were labeled as a hate group, equivalent to Nazis, because they believed in traditional marriage between one man and one woman. And so now you've got the same organization that is doing the equivalent. They're being used, like the Democrats have used Southern Poverty Law Center in the past, as, oh, look, we've got a third party out here. It's not us saying that. It's a third party out here who is labeling them. You have to understand this plausible deniability routine of third parties. As I've mentioned many times, this whole idea that social media censorship is being done by private corporations, and that's fine because that's their private property rights to do that. I have seen that, and I've told this audience many times about how that game was used for decades, 30 years at least. They used that ploy, that third-party ploy. Oh, this is a private organization, and they have a right to determine who is going to be in the debates, the political debates. So if you're a third party or an independent candidate, and you jump through all the extra hoops that the Democrats or Republicans put in your way in order to get on the ballot, you're still not going to be allowed to participate in the debates because they say we're going to have the debates run by a third-party organization. Typically, in North Carolina, it was a press association, and the press association didn't want free speech. What a surprise! How things have changed, haven't they? Now we have CNN and MSNBC and these other groups, free press groups out there, leading the call for censorship. Well, they've been leading the call for censorship of other non-establishment views, whether they are left or right. They would come after the Libertarians, they'd come after the Green Party people, they'd come after independents because they were not establishment. And that's the same pattern we see happening on social media today. Don't tell me this is about private organizations making their own determination. It's not that. It's not that. It is a ploy. And so what we see happening with this is this group, these groups, Secure Democracy, are out there bragging about how they are identifying bots. Oh, they're Russian bots. Why are they Russian bots? Well, because they don't like globalism. That makes them Russian bots. You might be a Russian bot. To paraphrase Jeff Foxworthy, you might be a Russian bot if you don't agree with globalism. And of course, they will identify you as such. These useful algorithms that they have, these organizations, they will identify anybody that disagrees with the establishment narrative, with the globalist narrative. They turn those, or they support Trump, they turn those names over to the Democrat Party, the DCCC, the Democrat Congressional Congress Committee, or the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. They turn it over to them. The DCC turns that list over to Twitter, and Twitter says, you're gone. More than 10,000 taken off of Twitter. Why? Because they were labeled as bots by an algorithm. And they bragged about it. They're very happy about it. Twitter's happy about it. The Democrats are happy about it. This organization is happy about it. They're posting on Twitter, bragging about the fact they're taking people down. Folks, the key issue before us right now, and I understand the border is very, very important. We're going to get to that in the next segment. But we aren't going to have a country worth saving if we don't have free speech. And so you add to that the idea that Twitter now has announced that they are going to ban anybody who says outrageous things like a man is not a woman. That has gotten a lot of feminists banned. You have a lot of feminists who are very angry about the fact that they're trying to carve out things for women, and men are coming in and saying, well, that's, you know, I'm taking that over. I'm going to declare myself a woman so I can win the wrestling match or the other athletic contest or whatever. You name it. And they said, no, that's not right. So Twitter says, if you say that, if you push back against the transgenders, because there is a pecking order, as I pointed out about a week ago, there is a pecking order, and the top of the pecking order right now is the transgender group. They are higher than the feminists right now. So watch out, feminists. You're going to get banned. You're already being banned quite a bit. Now, they added to that a new thing called dead naming. I'm going to get into this in a little bit more detail later on in the broadcast, because the next segment I want to get into Invasion USA. Do you know what dead naming is? I had to look it up. I found it in the Wikigenderpedia, whatever, some kind of thing about Wikigenders. Dead naming is if you take somebody's real name. You know, you got somebody who is a man. Their genitals are male. Their biological identity is male. Their objective determination is male. They have a male name. If you were to call, let's say, Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, that's dead naming. Well, I don't do that. I call him Bruce Gender because he's the poster child for this insanity. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Welcome back on this Monday after Thanksgiving, and I've got one or two more things to say about Thanksgiving before we move on to Invasion USA. We're told, and I tweeted this out, the only immigrants that the left hates are pilgrims. So we're told that the pilgrims are evil. Why? Well, because there were these white European Christians. Every other immigrant is great. You know, we're told, oh, we're a nation of immigrants, but we hate those pilgrims, don't we? Why? Well, they brought disease. They came with a new culture, a new religion, a new legal system. That new culture, religion, legal system obliterated the indigenous ones that were here. Why? Because they came in vast, uncontrolled numbers. That's right. And of course, the Indians were good guys for resisting that, weren't they? Just as these people who shot the missionary coming in into their country and this island, this deserted island, this Stone Age tribe, killed him with arrows. Oh, that's okay. That's what left is not concerned about that. That's fine. They are fine to protect themselves against a new culture that is coming in, but not us. We're not allowed to do that. As a matter of fact, even going back to Charlie Brown, we have social media freaked out about the fact that Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving has a so-called racist scene in it. Now, forget about the fact that you've got Woodstock cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Let's get past the cannibalism implied in that, okay? Don't worry about the cannibalism from Woodstock cooking a turkey dinner. No, no, no. What they're concerned about is Franklin, the one and only black friend in the group, seated by himself on one side of the table while the other is crowded with the rest of the friends. Well, let's understand. Franklin was never a part of the core of Charles Schulz. It wasn't one of the characters that Charles Schulz came up with for whatever reason. You know, it wasn't part of the culture that he lived in. I mean, this guy was living up in Minnesota or whatever, very white area. But it's okay to do that, quite frankly. It is okay to have an all-white cast, isn't it? Oh, no, not anymore, it isn't. Now, see, if Charles Schulz had done an all-black Peanuts, it would have been fine. It would have been applauded. Or an all-Hispanic or an all-Muslim. But not if it was an all-white. Can't have that. And so even back at the time they did Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, they added a black character who really wasn't part of the Schulz characters. He wasn't well-defined. He didn't really have any speaking. He's kind of an NPC. But they added him in there for political correctness. But now he's not politically correct. And he's not a playable character. And he didn't really have any lines. And so all these real-life NPCs on social media are freaking out about it. To which I say, good grief. Get a life. Get a life. You know, we have different cultures. You say you embrace multiculturalism? Well, embrace it. This is Charles Schulz culture. You don't like it? Don't watch it. Or create your own if you're capable. How about that? You want to create your own culture? Maybe you might want to take a try at that. Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as the Nation is pointing out, actually Zero Hedge, says the Nation's editors are downright giddy. They see socialism in the USA on the rise because of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Again, go back to the first Thanksgiving. Why were they about to starve? It's because they tried to implement socialism in a misguided attempt. They were saved by the Indians. Who, by the way, the gap was bridged by, as I talked about last Wednesday, by Squanto, who went through a horrific thing. He was captured as a slave. And, oh, by the way, slavery was not something that was invented by white Europeans. The Indians had slavery. Every civilization has had slavery. Doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's okay. But you have bad people. You have murderers. You have thieves. You have people who will enslave people. That's part of every society, every culture, every nation has that. He was captured as a slave. He was taken back to Europe. He eventually made his way back. He had learned English. He became a Christian. And he became the go-between. And they had peace for over a generation between the Pilgrims and the Indians. And when the Pilgrims tried socialism and nearly starved, it was the Indians who helped them to get over that. But they learned their lesson. The governor said, every one of us is going to have their own tract of land, and you're going to be responsible for raising your own food. Now, if you don't do that, or you're going to have to apply to the to the charity, to the love of your neighbors. I'll never forget when I went to a Democrat meeting, because that was what the congressman in my area was, a Democrat. They gerrymandered that area. He was holding a meeting when Hillary Clinton was pushing a takeover of healthcare as first lady, unelected first lady. And I got up and said, understand that there are people who don't have healthcare. We need to understand the best way to address this is with charity, not with socialism. And I was roundly booed, as you can expect in a Democrat organization. But charity simply means love. It's a Christian word for love. And it was Christians who would take care of other Christians. You go back and read Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America. He was amazed that Americans, when they saw a need, they would self-organize within the community to address that need. They would come together as a group, or typically as a church. The churches were where that would usually happen. The churches were in charge of charity, helping people who had hit hard times or had had bad circumstances. They could also understand when people were not pulling their own weight, and they would pull back a little bit. Say, you're not really doing what you need to be doing here. That's what happened with the Pilgrims. But they would the church would take the initiative on education. They would take the initiative on charity. That was before we made government God. And when de Tocqueville, a Frenchman, came here and he saw that, he said, this is really amazing. You know, we don't do it like this in France, because in France, they already had a socialist outlook. They already saw government as God. They were already of the mindset of a slave, where they would go to government and ask for handouts. And the saddest thing that I see now is that we have Christians who no longer take the initiative, who no longer engage in charity. They demand that the government provide things to people instead of doing it themselves. And so along that line, we see Ocasio-Cortez calling for a guaranteed paycheck for everyone, no matter what. That's universal basic income. Of course it is. She calls for Medicare for all. She wants socialism for all, welfare for all, Medicare for all, welfare for all. Who cares about what it costs? Well, Zero Hedge pointed out, she will not be the one to finally make it work. And as we think about Thanksgiving, one of the things we can be thankful for is that we don't have socialism here in this country, because look at what it's done to Venezuela. The massive starvation, the corruption, hunger, the crime, that is what happens with socialism. And putting a pretty face on it, and yes, she does look nicer than Bernie Sanders. Pretty much anybody does. Maybe I don't look nicer than Bernie Sanders, but anybody else looks nicer than Bernie Sanders. But that isn't going to cut it. Isn't going to cut it. It is a system that will always fail. It's just a question of time. Sometimes it takes one season. If you don't have much stored up, that's what the Pilgrims ran into. Sometimes it can take decades, like it's taking in Sweden, but it's already starting to turn in Sweden. And it is really gone down the drain in Venezuela. We can be thankful for that. And that's why we fight to save America. Stay with us. Be right back.
Liberty, it's your move. This is the David Knight Show.
All right, let's talk about Invasion USA. And I think I saw this article here. Man pleads guilty to trying to bribe the Oregon Immigration Control Agency, ICE, to deport his wife. I saw that. Made me think of the old Henny Youngman joke. Take my wife. Please take my wife. The next thing is he trying to bribe them to do their job? Actually, I don't know if she was here illegally. He sponsored her for entry in the United States from her native El Salvador so they could get married, and then he changed his mind. Now, I don't know. I guess he married her, so yeah, I guess she was here legally. He sponsored her, then married her, and then she was here legally. So he's trying to get them to deport her. a bit of regret there. It's kind of it's turning into an expensive divorce for him, because he has a big fine, and he's going to jail. So it turned out not to be a very good idea for him. But as we look at the border, and we look at what is happening there, We still have Democrats like Maxine Waters say it's nothing real. It's a ploy and so forth. And what happened over the weekend? Well, of course, as you've seen, we had a group of hundreds of people try to force their way over the border. It was being blockaded by the Mexican police. They broke through that barrier. They broke through some concertina wire and so forth. They were coming after the agents on the other side. They shot tear gas. Now, the way it's being reported by mainstream media like The Hill is it caused some children to cry and choke as their parents held them tightly. That's the AP. That's the way they spin this. See, these children are being attacked, right? Forget about the fact it's violent males. You know, these people, they hate males, right? So they're not going to defend males. And they're not going to defend the idea that these people, even by their own admission, as I'll show you, they're more than 95% male, even by their own admission. And yet they put the women and children right up front, just like President Trump said. He said they're mostly men coming across, almost all men, except when the cameras are there and then they bring the women and the children up front. And that's what the AP, the Associated Press, and The Hill are doing. Hundreds of the group's members came together, they said, for a peaceful demonstration. This is mainstream media reporting this. Their demonstration reportedly got out of hand. Oh, gee, we don't understand how this happened. It was all supposed to be so peaceful. I'm going to tell you, that was never the intention. That was never the intention. They'd always planned to rush the border. And it was reported by Gateway Pundit a day before it happened. They said these people are saying, Sunday is the day. Sunday is the best day for us to surge across the border. But then The Hill and the Associated Press say, well, you know, they just had this peaceful demonstration and it got out of hand when hundreds of migrants broke away and unexpectedly headed toward the border. And they weren't going to Taco Bell. They were not running for the border that way. Mexico on Sunday said it will deport up to 500 migrants from Central America who sought to cross over. So Mexico is going to deport these people. Mexico is going to deport them. They pushed past lines of Mexican police as they flooded across a riverbed to the border fence, according to the New York Times. But it's the children. The children. Where are the children in all this? The children were doing this? The children broke away? The children pushed over the border? The children broke through the Mexican guards and so forth? No. It was men. Men. It's an invading army. Pueblos and Fronteras. If I'm saying that correctly, sorry, I don't speak Spanish. The group organizing the caravan, I can translate it for you, though. A village without borders. That's what it really is. Village without borders organized the campaign. They told Fox News that migrants were preparing to breach the Southern California border crossing on Sunday. It was planned. It was not spontaneous. And then in one video shared by an ITV reporter, migrants are heard shouting, "Yes, we can," as they rush to the entry point. There's your Democrat voters right there. That's why the Democrats are pushing it. Yes, we can. A second line of Mexican police carrying carrying plastic riot shields stood guard outside a Mexican customs and immigration plaza where the migrants were headed. That line of Mexican police installed tall steel panels behind them outside the Chaparral crossing on the Mexican side of the border, which completely blocked incoming traffic lanes to Mexico. Now, enter Maxine Waters. This has been organized and planned by the Village Without Borders people. They plan to do it on Sunday. They're rushing across the border. You got Mexican police setting up barricades. They break through the barricades of the Mexican police. And then Maxine Waters said, this is a political ploy by Trump. Yes, he's controlling all of those people. He is ultimately the one funding the Village Without Borders, of course, right? It's not Soros and his organization. No, it's actually President Trump, according to Maxine Waters. Here's what she has to say.
This after hundreds of migrants outnumbered Mexican authorities as they made their way toward the U.S.-Mexican border. And as a result, we understand that Customs and Border Patrol
She's laying out the facts to Maxine, but Maxine is unfazed.
Port of entry, north and southbound. And you're looking at these pictures right now as we're all trying to decipher what it is we're seeing. You see gatherings of people there.
Reality will not get in the way of Maxine Waters' prearranged talking points.
Come to this and what what is happening. Joining me right now, House Representative Maxine Waters, the ranking member on the Financial Services Committee, and you representing the 43rd Congressional District there, South Los Angeles County. Good that you could be with us. So what are you deciphering here as you're seeing all of this transpiring with reports that migrants have outnumbered Mexican authorities and that this busy port of entry has been closed to all vehicular and pedestrian traffic?
Well, I am very saddened to see this situation with desperate people and all of this being the political ploy of the President of the United States of America.
It's all Trump. It's just like Jim Acosta and Jeff Flake. You know, this is not real. It's not happening. Don't believe your eyes. You know, Jim did not touch that report, that intern there. That's all fake video. All this stuff about the people jumping over the fences, that's all fake video. President Trump is lying to you. It's a ploy, according to Maxine Waters. You know, no matter what that CNN reporter who is just talking about what she happens to see there, no matter what the Mexican government has to say about this. No. This is all President Trump. It's his ploy. It's all a fantasy, they say. No, it's their fantasy. Meanwhile, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez compares the migrant caravan to Jews fleeing the Holocaust. She says, asking to be considered a refugee and applying for status is not a crime. It wasn't for Jewish families fleeing Germany, she says. And of course, did you see the Jewish families fleeing Germany, as I said earlier in the broadcast? Did you see them carrying Nazi flags? I don't think they did. That's a very important distinction that President Trump made about these people who are not refugees. They're not fleeing persecution. They're coming here for economic reasons. They're not coming here for freedom either. They're coming here for free stuff. That's the big difference. Does Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have any compassion for a real refugee? For Asia Bibi, the Pakistani Christian, who sat for, I think it was 8 years on death row, finally released, and yet the country exploded in riots. People took to the streets in all the major cities by the thousands, setting things on fire. Why? Because they were angry that this Christian woman was not going to be executed for blasphemy. She was accused of blasphemy when she drank a cup of water. And the Muslim women said, "You can't, you filthy Christian, you can't have water there. You convert or you're not going to have any water." She said, "I'm a Christian, I'm not converting." So they accused her of blasphemy, put her on death row. Finally, the Supreme Court overthrew that. There was a member of parliament in Pakistan who said, "We need to get rid of this blasphemy law that would execute people." Well, his bodyguard killed him. And in the UK, Theresa May would not give her refugee status because she said it might offend the Muslims in that country. Yeah, sure might. Sure might, because that's the kind of people they are. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't have any compassion for a real refugee because she's a Christian. A Christian. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take another look at Invasion USA, and we're going to give you the background of this. It's really globalist migration. We've got Hillary Clinton and John Kerry out there saying, you know, we've got to slow this thing down. It's really the boiling frogs analogy, isn't it? We've done this so rapidly, the slaves are waking up to what we're really on to. And so we got to slow this down, said Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. They're admitting that. It's kind of interesting. You know, Hillary Clinton, as I said, in the past, has admitted it was an information war and they were losing it. She also co-opted our slogan, "You are the resistance." How many years has Alex Jones used that slogan? "You are the resistance." One of the taglines for the program. Hillary Clinton has now taken that over. You know, we started saying, "Hey, look, they're fake news. CNN is fake news." And President Trump started saying it. Then CNN started calling everybody else fake news. And since they own the media, the establishment media labels anybody that disagrees with establishment media now as fake news, no matter how fake their news is. I think you can figure out what the truth is. And folks, if you want to keep real news going, if you want to be able to hear an alternative, if you want to be able to think for yourself, it's very important, especially at this time that they are trying to suppress free speech. Rampant censorship. We're going to be talking about that later in the broadcast. How that is being stepped up with dead naming, banning people for anything that they disagree with that you say about gender issues. Yeah, that's a gender war as well, isn't it? Besides an information war. And so it's just a matter of time before all conservatives are banned off of the big social media sites. That's why we have to have the alternative ones. I'm on Twitter right now as Libertarian. That name was taken on Gab, so we set it up as the David Knight Show. I haven't really been that active on Gab. I haven't really been that active on Twitter, actually, either. I look at it occasionally, and I did a few things over the weekend. But for the most part, I wanted to spend the time with my family. I think that's a good thing. We all have to touch base and be grounded with what's really important. And social media is not what's really important, folks. It's great for us to be able to share information. And it's been a big threat to them for you to be able to see and hear and speak what you want. And they want to make a monkey out of you. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. They want to gag you and blind you and make you deaf to everything except what they have to say. I'm not going to say what Twitter wants me to say. I'm not going to say 2 + 2 = 5. I'm just not going to say it. It wouldn't be worth doing this job if I were to kowtow to that. If I were to just avoid issues that might get me banned off of their social media platforms, I wouldn't be doing my job, let alone completely kowtowing to it and saying, oh, yes, that's a good thing. not going to happen. And so, folks, if you want to keep Real News going, take a look at our Black Friday specials. We have some incredible discounts at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got all InfoWars Life supplements 50% off. We've got storable food up to 50% off. We've got free shipping store-wide, and many items are discounted up to 75% on our site. And you also get the Patriot points. We've doubled that for this particular sale. Those are points that you get for being a customer. It gets you discounts in the future, additional discounts. You can also get the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system, now $123 off. It's a 49% discount, $123 savings off of the large gravity feed water filter from Alexa Pure. We also have the Alexa Pure Breeze, the air filter. I use that in my house. We have quite a few of those here in the facility. Very silent, very effective, and very attractive. You can now get that at 40% off. If you look at the site, we have things categorized. We have gifts under $25, gifts under $50, gifts under $100, gifts for him, gifts for her, a lot of different things like that, stocking stuffers. And as I said, up to 75% off store-wide, plus free shipping and double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's get back to the invasion. We saw back, and it's very important to take a look at the dates of these stories. I like to go back, sometimes if you just go back a week or two, it shows how these people are lying. November 19th, Vanity Fair. The administration admits that the border deployment was just a $200 million election stunt. Yeah, there was nothing happening at the border, right? Vanity Fair laid it all out. They told us that it was all fake, just like Jim Acosta was lecturing President Trump to his face. There's no threat. They're not coming over the border. They're very far away, even if they're going to come over the border. So this is nothing but an election stunt, right? Jim Acosta did that as they were coming over the border. Jeff Flake was still going over the talking points that he got from Jim Acosta. And then you have CNN and Vanity Fair all still pushing this. It's just an election stunt, as Maxine Waters said. It's a ploy. It's a ploy. Even though it's all Hondurans fighting Mexican police, being pushed by the Village Without Borders people, it's all just a Trump ploy. As Vanity Fair said at the time, Trump declared the caravan comprised mostly of women and children fleeing violence and poverty is actually mostly men. Now that we've seen, that's actually true. Although the media will focus. You've got that one picture of a woman with a kid in her arm and another one by the hand fleeing tear gas that the air is carrying over to them if they were not at the front. And I look at that and I say, since when is that not child endangerment? You know, the Democrats in California will take your children away from you, or try to. They'll take away the children's education if you don't get your children vaccinated because you're concerned about the effect on them. But, of course, dragging your children across the desert, across multiple countries, and across the U.S. border and into a riot zone. That's not child endangerment at all, is it? No, not at all. And as President Trump said, pushing the kids, the few kids, right up to the front when the cameras are out. So what happened at the border over the weekend? Well, as the San Diego Union Tribune said, federal authorities said the migrants tried to breach the border at multiple locations, leading to a number of assaults on Customs and Border Protection personnel and dozens of arrests. During the incident, Tijuana police detained 39 people, including 15 Mexicans, 24 Hondurans. Two of the Hondurans were women. So think about this, folks. The Tijuana police detained about 40 people. Two of them were women. No children. So that would be about 5% women, 95% men in that particular sample. But of course, President Trump was lying to you when he said it was mostly men. Mostly men. I would say that's mostly men. 95% or better is mostly men. A Tijuana mayor also took to Twitter to address the incident, said, "We will not allow our binational relationship to be broken by the bad behavior of the migrant caravan." He added that Tijuana residents who work, study, and visit the U.S. in peace were affected by the closure. You know, it's one of the busiest international borders in the world. Over 90,000 people come and go over the border between Tijuana and the U.S. there in San Diego every day. That got closed down because of the behavior of these invaders. And even the Tijuana mayor is not happy about them being there. U.S. Customs Border Protection closed the pedestrian and vehicle bridges near San Diego, California, but it's actually closed by the Mexican police as well. Both sides were closed. And as President Trump had to say, they may close the entire border. Here's what President Trump had to say.
"If we find that it's uncontrollable, Josh, if we find that it's it gets to a level where we are going to lose control or where people are going to start getting hurt, we will close entry into the country for a period of time until we can get it under control."
"The entire border?"
"The whole border. I mean, the whole border. We're going to either have a border or we're not. And when they lose control of the border on the Mexico side, we just close the border."
That's right.
"Criminals in that caravan. And the big caravan hasn't arrived yet. And we're very well fortified. We have fencing and walls like very few people have. We've been able to do it rather quickly. Cosentini wire, and so many other things are there now that they didn't have. And they're not coming through. We're not letting criminals into our country. Got to come in legally. You have to come in through a process."
That's what President Trump is saying. Now, of course, my wife saw on Facebook something was shared by one of her high school friends. His son is a Democrat commentator, used to be a staffer for Chuck Schumer. And her friend, her Democrat friend, shared this article from commondreams.org. "Children screaming and coughing in the mayhem as Trump Border Patrol fires tear gas into Mexico." This is an outright lie. U.S. Border Patrol agents reportedly fired tear gas into Mexico, forcing parents with toddlers to flee. "Children were screaming and coughing in the mayhem," reports Associated Press. Of course, the AP is lying as well. I'll tell you why in just a second here. "On the U.S. side of the fence, shoppers streamed in and out of an outlet mall." See, on the U.S. side, they're just shopping while they're gassing children on the other side. They're shooting it over the border there. Imagine having tear gas launched at you after escaping gang violence and poverty while carrying your child. That's the Democrat perspective. And yet the reality is, U.S. border agents shot several rounds of tear gas after migrants attempted to penetrate various points along the border, after they engaged the Mexican police, after they broke through the Mexican police borders. And the Mexicans are very angry. They're going to deport at least 500 of these men. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
In this hour, we're going to be joined by Eric Peters. We're going to talk about the corporate average fuel economy, because right now we've got, in France, Paris is burning. Emmanuel Macron has imposed climate taxes. That's what these diesel fuel taxes are. I mean, think of them as carbon taxes. You can think of them as climate taxes. They're masquerading them at this point in time as a diesel fuel tax, but that is why they're putting that diesel fuel tax on. is because, oh, it's a threat to the environment. It's not a threat to the environment. How about the impact on the environment when Frenchmen set France on fire because they don't like these confiscatory taxes? You know, they're wearing yellow jackets because under French law, all motorists are required to have yellow jackets in their car in case they break down on the side of the road. They can put on the yellow jacket so people can see them working on their car, whatever, milling around, not hit them. It's a safety requirement. That's a pretty reasonable thing. But they're now using those jackets that identify them as a car owner, as a driver, to protest this globalist agenda masquerading as climate change. And we've had a report issued by the federal government, and it is, quite frankly, going to break down the lies of that as well, saying that we're going to have massive economic disruption because of emission increases. Well, emissions have been decreasing, and they're going to still, nevertheless, use that to try to take away your private property and your liberty and your mobility. And we're going to be talking to Eric Peters about that. He had an excellent article about that, how the impact of this election and what it is going to do to our freedom, our liberty, and our property. Because it's very imperative that we get rid of this corporate average fuel economy. President Trump has talked about this before and immediately after the election, but it hasn't been done. It's one of the reasons why they got Scott Pruitt out. And it's going to be harder to get this done with the Democrats in charge, as you can see with this latest climate report that they put out. A lot of climate lies. And we're going to break down what the real source of man-made global warming is. So stay with us. We're going to get to that after we talk about immigration here. As I was saying before we went to the break, this article shared by my wife's Democrat friend saying children were screaming and coughing in mayhem as the Americans shot tear gas into Mexico while they shopped in malls. That is the insanity being put out there by the Associated Press and these other shills. But the reality is the fact that the border agents shot several rounds of tear gas after some migrants attempted to penetrate various points along the border through what appeared to be rocks at U.S. authorities. Mexico's Milenio TV showed images of migrants climbing over fences and peeling back metal sheeting to enter. The tear gas fumes were carried by the wind. Some children in the background were affected by that. And so that is the image that is being put out there. The photographs of a couple of children in the back, that's the image that's being put out there. Those are the lies and how it's being spun by the mainstream media, pushing an open border agenda. Honduran Anna Zuniga, 23, also said she saw migrants opening a small hole in concertina wire at the gap on the Mexican side of a levee, at which point U.S. agents fired tear gas at them. The Mexican Interior Ministry said on Sunday that the events were, quote, acts of provocation. You wouldn't know that from listening to the Associated Press or this Common Dreams article, propaganda put out by our Democrat friends. She said the Mexican Interior Ministry said these acts of provocation were far from helpful for the migrants' objectives. Earlier this month, President Trump said troops stationed at the border would treat rocks thrown like firearms. He said, we're not going to put up with that. They want to throw rocks at our military fights back. I told them to consider it as a rifle. When they throw rocks like they did at the Mexico military and at the Mexican police, I said, consider it a rifle. We will defend our country. We will not put our people in harm's way to be attacked with lethal weapons. That's what they are. I mean, you know, rocks are just as lethal as bows and arrows, as lethal as rifles.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I said, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Eric Peters. We're going to talk about what's going on in France as the French are awakening to what we still have not understood here in this country. They are coming for your freedom, for your mobility, for your private property. They're going to do it through taxes, through regulations, and the French people are rioting. As we say so many times, government is revolting. Why aren't you? Well, the French are. And we're going to talk about why they're doing that. We're going to talk about the false climate report, the false alarmism is what I call it. There's another report that's come out of the federal government, another indication of how dangerous this is, because, folks, as soon as President Trump leaves, even if we have the EPA under Trump roll back these Obama regulations, you have to understand these are laws that are being enacted by unelected bureaucrats. And so we have regulation without representation. We have taxes without representation. Exactly what the people in Britain are now getting with this Theresa May Brexit deal. I guess we could call it May's betrays it. They had Brexit and now she betrays it. And what she is doing is she's making them vassals to a European empire. They will still have all the regulations that they did under the European Union. They just won't have any say-so in it. But we have that now with Washington, with the bureaucracies. It doesn't matter what we do in an election. The bureaucracies are going to still spew their false alarmism. So we're going to break that down for you, talk about the corporate average fuel economy. That's the way they're going to do it here in the U.S. Macron just enacted a big diesel tax. They're going to do it more indirectly here. And most Americans won't even understand why they can't afford a car anymore. They just kind of scratch their heads and say, gee, that's too expensive. I can't buy that. What's going on? Well, we're going to tell you what's going on before it happens. So we're going to get to that at the bottom of the hour. Let's finish up with the invasion USA. As I was saying, the invasion was started on the Mexican side, and it was actually the Mexican government, the Mexican police, who were leading the fight against these people. And as they started to break through the barriers and the borders and cutting through the concertina wire and throwing rocks at border agents, they shot tear gas at them. And so that was portrayed as an attack on children inside of Mexico by the mainstream media, by the Associated Press. Mexico's new government says that they don't have a deal with the U.S. on asylum seekers. At first, we had last week, while we were gone on vacation, we had Mexico's incoming interior ministry told the Washington Post that, quote, for now, we have agreed to this policy of remain in Mexico, adding that the medium and long-term solution is that people don't migrate. She later appeared to backtrack, telling the Associated Press that there is, quote, no agreement of any sort between the incoming Mexican government and the U.S. government. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Nevertheless, we have reports of massive crime, even by Reuters. Now, Reuters puts the number at 4,600 migrants. Other people have said 8,500, 10,000, more than 10,000. They put it at 4,600. I think that's extremely low, but nevertheless, let's go with that number for the moment. So Reuters says 4,600 migrants. And they say, among these Central Americans, many of whom are Hondurans, fleeing violence and poverty, so they're refugees, right? They're not economic opportunists. And they're not mostly men. They are refugees, women and children refugees, by the way. But let's go with the 4,600 migrants. They said among that group are about 80 minors between the age of 10 and 17. So according to Reuters figures, 80 minors out of 4,600 people. Now, Trump was pilloried by the mainstream media for saying it's mostly men. The women and children are barely there. They put them in the front for photo opportunities when something happens. But then Reuters says out of the 4,600 migrants, so there's about 80 of them that are minors. They go on to say a 15-year-old Honduran, who is now, again, in Tijuana, said that during a previous attempt to cross into the U.S. last year, when he would have been 14, he was kidnapped and badly beaten in Mexico by drug traffickers who claimed to be from the Zeta gang. He said, I ended up in the hospital. I don't know how, because I arrived there half dead. But now he's back. Now he's back. And see, it's not a dangerous, it's not child endangerment at all to drag your children away from your husband, as that woman whose young daughter became the poster child for Trump's bullying of children. Remember how they photoshopped her away from her mother? She never left her mother, but her mother took the child and left the husband. And took $6,000 because it was worth it to endanger her child that way. But of course, she was one of the lucky ones. She did not run into any kidnappers. One Honduran migrant says that 20,000 will march through the vehicle lanes at the border and claims that applying for asylum is a waste of time, reports a Gateway pundit. He said Marco Gomez, 26, a construction worker from Honduras, said, "We'll stay together, we'll be strong, and then we'll move into the U.S. peacefully, like people going from one country to another, marching." He said, "It's a waste of time to apply for asylum." He said it takes months and years. Another migrant, Frank Martinez, had a similar plan. This is a report from Gateway Pundit. He said, "I personally, and I know many people, will attempt to do the same thing. It's to cross illegally. I will enter illegally," said Martinez, "because we want a better life, and I'm in a hurry." Oh, they're refugees, right? Refugees. Again, as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, they're like Jews fleeing the Nazis, except the Jews didn't carry Nazi flags with them, did they? They didn't say, "I'm going to Britain or to Switzerland because, you know, I want to get a high-paying job in a chocolate factory." No. No. Not the same thing at all. Though the migrants were offered asylum in Mexico, they had no plans to take them up on their offer, they said. Instead, they want to storm the border to the U.S. Martinez said, "It's not my intention to stay here in this country. My intention is the United States." And again, if they are refugees and they're offered asylum in Mexico, they don't want to take it. They want to come to the U.S. because they're not refugees. They're coming for economic advantage. And if they're coming for economic advantage, are we not allowed to say that it is not in our economic advantage to have them come here? Are we not allowed to say that we don't want to have our culture overwhelmed by a foreign culture, by a different legal system? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can say that, and we will say that. In a video posted by Village Without Borders, that's a translation of the organization, one of the organizations assisting in this caravan, a leader is heard saying that there will be an attempt to cross the U.S. border on Sunday, November 25th. Now, this story from Gateway Pundit was on Saturday, November 24th. And remember how this was reported by the Associated Press? They said, "Well, this was just an impromptu, peaceful demonstration." And then there was this breakaway group that just, impulsively decided they would run across the border. No, that wasn't the case, Associated Press. Gateway Pundit had the information a day before, said that they were Pueblo Sin Fronteras, the Village Without Borders, was saying, "We're going to cross on Sunday." They said, this is what they said, "The best day to go to the bridge peacefully and not with violence is on Sunday and write banners with our points. And we don't want the media to publish this before we do it." And of course, the Associated Press was very obliging in that respect. As a matter of fact, they didn't even publish that after it all happened, did they? The Washington Post is telling us, as True Pundit points out, human smugglers are rewarding migrants who bring children to the border. They slash the otherwise $10,000 per person. They slash it if you come with a child. This one smuggler that they talked to, and by phone in Kansas City, they give his name. It would have charged, says the Washington Post, they would have charged him $10,000 if he had been traveling alone, but he brought his daughter, so it cost only $4,500 for the both of them. And he's got 3 years to pay it off in monthly installments, or his mother could lose her house. Not a refugee. This is an economic investment. They've got a house. He mortgaged the house to traffic the kid, to endanger the kid, because the kid could have fallen into the hands of the cartel people. Could have been kidnapped. Could have been sold into sex slavery, human trafficking. Oh, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And mortgage his mother's house. So where is all of this open border stuff coming from? Well, it's a globalist agenda. And as the Voice of Europe points out, the UN Pact, and there is a UN migration treaty that the United States and Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria, others have already refused to sign. Many are going to refuse to sign that, saying that migration is a human right. No, it's not. Self-determination is a human right. That's why we have nations. They don't like nations. They don't like nationalism, patriotism, and I've got a quote here from Angela Merkel. She's trying to outdo Emmanuel Macron in attacking the ideas of nationalism and patriotism. But let's talk about this UN migration compact. This compact is an attempt to make Islamic migration a human right. And actually, they have an Islamic term for that migration. While at the same time undermining a nation's sovereignty, all Western nations should withdraw unless their goal is to establish Sharia, says the Voice of Europe. If not resisted by legal means, it is the way to gradually annihilate non-Islamic host culture and replace it with Islamic civilization. Now, Clinton and Kerry are lecturing the Europeans and saying, you're doing it too quickly. They're noticing what you're doing. You got to slow this down. As New American points out, you're basically boiling the frog too quickly. Turn the heat up too quickly, it jumps out of the pot. You got to do it gradually. Gradually. Like the Americans do here. So both of them have been speaking in Europe. And with Clinton, she is basically copying what Kerry had said earlier. I want to play you the clip of Kerry talking about how migration is crushing Europe. Here's John Kerry talking about how migration is crushing, and they got to slow it down a little bit, or else they're going to have nationalists throw the globalists out of office. Here's John Kerry.
Europe's already crushed under this transformation that's taken place because of immigration. Germany, Angela Merkel, weakened because of it. And other places impacted. Italy, significantly impacted its politics by immigration.
That's right. They have been crushed, as he said, by a transformation that has taken place due to immigration. A rare moment of candor. I guess he figured he was safe to say that because he was with friends there in London. He admitted that in London. And then Hillary Clinton copies him a couple of weeks later. She comes out and says, Europe must curtail migration if it wants to stop the surging support experienced by anti-establishment and Eurosceptic populist parties that have seized power in Hungary, Poland, Austria, Italy, and elsewhere. It's going to happen in France, too. You watch it. You watch it. They understand what you're doing. They're on to you. Kerry was talking to The Guardian, and so he figured he was safe. He didn't have to guard his comments. And then when nobody really noticed, Hillary Clinton mentioned it again. And actually, most people haven't really picked this up and talked about it much, certainly not the mainstream media. As Kerry said, in Germany, Angela Merkel is weakened. Italian politics is significantly impacted. Oh, you bet. Europe has had an influx of more than 1.8 million people, reports New American, since 2015. And so Hillary Clinton is out there saying, we got to stop this. And as I said at the beginning of the program, you don't see any leftists concerned about the fact that you've got that small tribe there in India's North Sentinel Island. It's a Stone Age tribe. And they shot to death a missionary who was coming in there. They don't want him. Well, that's okay. They can defend their borders, and the left doesn't have a problem with that. They're not calling them nationalists. They're not calling them xenophobic. They're not calling for anything to be done to those people. They have a illegal immigration policy that they're willing to enforce. They don't have a problem with these people in the Stone Age doing that. We don't hear them being called hateful, racist, xenophobic, because, you know, they're shooting Christian missionaries. That's okay. We can all cry about the so-called refugees who are putting out a mortgage on their mother's home, taking a kid with them in order to get a 50% discount. And, of course, they're refugees, right? They're not refugees. But we have a genuine refugee in Pakistan, and the left doesn't want them here because it would offend Muslims. There's an opportunity there, President Trump. Offer her asylum here. Take the high road. Take the high road. Angela Merkel is still out there trying to joust with Macron to be the chief globalist shill. She wants to be the leader of the Fourth Reich, and Emmanuel Macron says, no, I will lead the Fourth Reich here. She was speaking to the Konrad Adenauer Foundation Berlin on Friday, and Angela Merkel said, in this day, nation states must today, should today, I say, be ready to give up their sovereignty. Oh, Angela Merkel's not listening to Clinton. She's not listening to Kerry. She should, because that's the source of her problem. They understand what her problem is. she doesn't know or doesn't care. She's a little bit too arrogant. She said, either you are one of those who believe that you can solve everything on your own and only have to think about themselves. That is nationalism in the purest form. This is not patriotism. Sounds just like Macron, doesn't she? She said, because patriotism is if you include others in the German interest. Well, let's talk about the German interest. Is this in the German interest? As Paul Joseph Watson pointed out last week, an Afghan migrant cut the throat of an 85-year-old retiree in his own bed. Is that in German interests? Is that? A 20-year-old rejected asylum seeker was hired to take care of a victim's house and garden by his daughter, who had met him while volunteering at a local refugee shelter. And then he cuts the throat of this 85-year-old man while he's sleeping in bed. What a metaphor for the migration policies, isn't it? And of course, as I said last week, when Macron was talking about nationalism versus populism and so forth, patriotism, I said, patriotism is defending your own home. Oh, you can't even, so that people do not slit your father's throat in bed. That is patriotism. You defend your home. You defend your family. That's patriotism. Defending your way of life, your culture. Your way of life is just as important as the way of life of other people. Now, they have their own culture and their own homeland. They choose not to live with the fruits of that culture. Instead, they want to bring that culture here and have us reap the whirlwind of that kind of culture and legal system, as we see in the Islamic cultures, as we see in the socialist economies of Central and South America. We don't want that here. We don't want that here. And we have a Bill of Rights. That is what our nationalism is about. It's about our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Those are things worth defending. Defending our home, defending the Bill of Rights, defending the Constitution, that is what nationalism and patriotism are about. And the German and French leaders hate that. That Rothschild banker hates that. A French court has acquitted a refugee from Bangladesh, of course, for the rape of a high school girl after the defense argued the immigrant had different cultural norms. Hey, you know, that's it's okay for us to do that. Any infidel women that are not wearing a veil, it's okay for us to rape them. It's okay for us to cut the throats of other people that don't embrace our value. It's okay for us to shoot missionaries. And, of course, the left is silent on all of that. As Theresa May refused asylum for Asia Bibi, because she said it might, she was told by people in her government that would inflame the Muslim street. Obviously, it did in Pakistan. Don't want to get those Pakistanis angry at you in England, do you? Stay with us. We'll be right back with Eric Peters, and we're going to talk about the climate lies that are being pushed by Emmanuel Macron.
Free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Eric Peters, frequent guest of ours in terms of talking about your freedom, your liberty, your mobility, and the efforts to take that away. And Eric had an excellent article on his site, epautos.com. Talking about the consequences of this last midterm election on what is going to be a major consequence. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Major consequences as to whether or not you'll be able to own a car in this country. Now, right now, we have across France, and I reported on this last week, the beginning, and this has been going on now for quite some time. We had anywhere from 250,000 to 500,000 people across France. I showed the map last week. They put little yellow squares everywhere where they had riots. In over 2,000 locations, they were blocking situations. They had a couple of people die over this last week. You know, Ocasio-Cortez says, yeah, people are going to die because of climate change. Well, this is one way they may die, when people are fed up with this and push back, which is what they're doing in France right now. They're wearing yellow jackets because that's required by French safety rules to have a yellow jacket as a motorist. And so these people are identifying as motorists, and they're saying, you're not going to shut down our ability to move. You're not going to shut down our economy over your phony climate taxes. And that's what this really is. You can call it a climate tax. You can call it a diesel fuel tax, whatever it is. That is why this is being imposed by Macron. His popularity has now sunk to about 25%. And people are calling for him to be taken out. This is pushing towards a revolution. We've got Paris on fire. After doing this in 2,000 different locations, they all relocated to Paris. They took on the police over the weekend. Paris is burning. Read the headlines. How's that for emissions? Unexpected emissions. Unexpected blowback from these policies. So joining us now is Eric Peters from epautos.com. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having me back, David.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I find you had talked about, and we talked about this once before on the program, you had an article about how much more laissez-faire the French were when it comes to people being able to drive.
Yep.
They have this relaxed category of vehicles that even 14-year-olds can start driving early. They don't have to have mandatory insurance on that. They don't have airbags and so forth, and they have a limit on how fast these cars can drive. And some poor people choose to continue on with that path,
yep.
Something that they don't allow here in this country. So evidently, I think the French take their freedom a little bit more seriously than the Americans do, which is a surprise.
Well, it is, and apparently Macron is dissatisfied with that. And while he hasn't yet said, let them eat cake, he is saying, let them beat feet. The reason that the people in France are rioting is that under a hydrocarbon tax regime that Macron is pushing and engineered, the cost per liter of diesel fuel has gone up something like, I think it's about 24% to 25% over the course of the past 12 months to a historic high. Well, it's higher now than it's been since, I think, 2000, roughly equivalent to somewhere between $6 and $7 a gallon U.S.
Wow. And of course, that affects people in France significantly and in Europe because diesel cars are much more widespread than they are here in the United States. Here in the United States, it's mainly trucks that use it. So when they go up on diesel fuel, it gets buried in the cost of your goods. It's kind of like a value-added tax here in the United States. But there they see it at the retail level because it affects their direct transportation of the passenger cars.
Well, it's an attack on the end run. The reason that almost half the cars, or even more than half the cars, in Europe generally, not just France, are diesel-powered is because gasoline became artificially expensive because of exorbitant taxes that were imposed on gasoline. So people reasoned that, well, I can buy a diesel vehicle, and all else being equal, the diesel-powered vehicle will generally go about a third farther on the same gallon equivalent as a gas-powered car. So it was a way for them to get out from under the taxes and to continue to drive. And now that's being attacked. They were backed into a corner. This is their last refuge. And now the government, Macron specifically, seems determined to get people out of their diesel-powered vehicles.
Oh, absolutely. And this is all because of a globalist agenda. And so his response is to call out the army against these people. And that's one of the reasons why he wants to have a European army to enforce this globalist agenda. And we were saying this when he was bragging about how he wanted an empire, he wanted a European army and so forth. I said, that army is going to be used against the people. That's the way standing armies are always used, is against the people. And it took less than a week before he started using his army against the people who were protesting against his confiscatory taxes, destroying their way of life.
Yeah, he's really playing with fire here. These people are at the point of not having anything left to lose anymore. And that becomes very, very politically dangerous and socially dangerous. You make it impossible for people to live, literally. You know, the people who are rioting, for the most part, are people who don't live in Paris for the same reason that a lot of people don't want to live in a city here. It's too expensive. So they live out in the suburbs, and in order for them to get to work and to live, they have to drive. And, you know, you make fuel that expensive. Imagine what it would cost you to fill up a car if you had to spend $7 a gallon on fuel.
That's right. And then they're just outright banning cars, beginning again with diesel cars, outright banning them in certain areas of Europe, in Germany, in the UK, as well as in France. You know, France is saying we're going to have one Sunday a week where you're not going to allow any cars coming into the country, into the city, rather, in Paris.
That's right. And they're so not this reimbursing is, the people for, I mean, leaving aside the various other issues, you know, you're not being reimbursed for the massive amount of money that you spent on a vehicle. You spend $30,000 on a vehicle, let's say, and you hope to amortize that over a long period of time, and then the government decrees that you can no longer use it. Well, you've just essentially been taxed for the sum of money that you spent on a car that's now useless to you.
That's right. Absolutely. And in the UK, it's gotten so absurd that you have some jurisdictions in the UK that are charging people additional charges, surcharges, to park their diesel car. So even if you don't drive it, you're going to pay more to park it. They're trying to punish people. And there's a lot of, I hear when I talk about the fact that the government is going to make it illegal for you to drive the car of your choice, they're going to confiscate your property. People that I talk to here in America say, that'll never happen. I'll never stand for that. They don't realize how this is going to be done very subtly. And it's going to be done in a very under, under the radar type of way, with taxes, with regulation, with insurance rates. And of course, they're much more clever about the way they're doing it here in the United States, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But regardless, it's not an outright illegalization of these vehicles. It's an incremental making them unaffordable via taxes and regulations. And I think it's really important to note that this hysteria has picked up lately, and I think it has picked up lately precisely because the original reason, which was that we're supposedly about to run out of fuel, you know, the peak oil thing, that we're going to we're going to have to come up with an alternative because there's simply no more there's no more oil in the ground. Well, over the past
tower power, yeah,
yeah, over the past several years, it's we found all kinds of new oil, and we've got new extraction techniques, and there's such an abundance of oil that reason has been kicked out from under them, and they are getting desperate to come up with something to justify this regime. And so that's why they're pushing the climate change thing now as their new reason for justification of all this.
Well, it's very important for them to be able to control the economy. And the key way to control an economy is to control cheap energy. If you can cut off people's access to cheap energy, you not only destroy their standard of living, but you actually even destroy their life expectancy. This has been shown over and over again. And so that is a part of the agenda. But they also want to have a global problem that argues for a global government, and also funded by a global tax. So ultimately, they're going to go to these carbon taxes to take these things out.
That's right.
But here in the United States, they have a more subtle way of taking cars away from us, and that's what we want to get to in the next segment. Just tease it a little bit here, and that is the corporate average fuel economy. Now, this has been bantered back and forth. As soon as President Trump got elected, he said, we're going to change this mandate. That was going back to November of 2016, and we've seen article after article that Trump is going to get rid of the corporate average fuel economy, and yet it hasn't happened. And based on this election, as you pointed out in your article, this election mattered. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. The corporate average fuel economy mandates of the Obama administration will have the same effect, if not a greater effect, than these higher taxes imposed by Emmanuel Macron if it is not overturned. And that is our concern, and we'll talk about that when we come back with Eric Peters of epautos.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round.
How much longer? How much longer are you going to be free to do that? Are you going to be free to choose what you want to get around with? Well, they don't like you doing that. You know, as soon as President Trump was elected, going back to November 9th, 2016, I had this article from Jalopnik. Trump threatens to repeal fuel economy and emissions regulations. And they quoted a senior policy advisor to President Trump, John Mashburn. He said, it's important to remember that this particular program, the corporate average fuel economy mandates, he said, this was first put in place as a way to reduce our nation's dependence on foreign oil, not for the purposes of global warming or regulation. And yet, Jalopnik was wringing its hands. They said, this is a 2010 program that's put in by the EPA and the National Highway Traffic Administration, the people who are not concerned about self-driving cars, not concerned about that kind of safety. No. But the two of them got together, the EPA and NHTSA got together. They said, we're going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Now, how is that something that it concerns the National Highway Traffic Safety Association? Then in 2012, they put in the Obama mandates, 54.5 miles per gallon average corporate fuel economy by 2020. Now, that has been changed somewhat, but we're still looking at something that's about 50 or so by 2025. And they wrung their hands and they said, automakers have struggled to meet annual targets, with many of them buying credits from Tesla and small car-based companies. And if Trump gets rid of this stuff, said Jalopnik, then these car companies might pump out whatever makes the most money. You know, things like SUVs and trucks. oh, what would we do if the car companies actually made what the public wanted rather than what the bureaucrats demand? What do you think about that, Eric?
It's pretty appalling. And just to spill a few beans here, Jalopnik is part of the same media empire conglomerate that publishes the left-wing Huffington Post.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that. And so that colors their coverage.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and so they're out there pulling back on this. Now, tell us what the status of this is, because that was the article right after President Trump got elected. We saw articles in 2017 in March and in May. You had President Trump saying that he was going to roll back these standards. You had automakers urging him not to do that because I think they've already made their plans as to what they're going to manufacture, and that screws up their plans, perhaps. I don't know. But then we're still at the point where it hasn't been implemented. And as you pointed out in your article, excellent article, this election mattered. We still have those corporate average fuel economy mandates from Obama hanging over our head. What is the status of this?
Well, there's a couple of things. Trump had wanted to, at minimum, hold them at the current roughly 37.5, I think it is, miles per gallon, rather than what Obama had decreed, which was to get it to about 50 miles per gallon by 2025, which, of course, is 5 years from now. And the car companies are already in the process right now of designing their cars to meet that mandate because they have to. They can't turn on a dime and build cars in 6 months. They have to design and engineer them, and it takes several years to do that. So that's why they have gone on board with this, because if the thing changed, then they'd have to throw away all the money that they've been forced to invest in electric cars and all this other stuff. So that's why they're in favor of it. Trump continues to be for rescinding it, but the problem is that now the House is going to be in control of the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, and politically it's going to be extremely hard for him to do it, particularly since they have succeeded, per your comment earlier at the beginning of this, in conflating mileage with emissions. Every time you hear this discussed, they talk about Trump. Trump is going to turn back emission standards. And it's enormously dishonest, but it's been very, very successful. It's never defined. When they talk about emissions, what they're talking about is carbon dioxide. They're not talking about the things that traditionally have been understood to be emissions, things like unburned hydrocarbons, particulates, and so on, things that actually do cause health problems, things that do create smog. Carbon dioxide does none of those things.
That's right. Carbon dioxide is what we exhale. It's what all animals exhale. It's what plants need, as it's basically their oxygen.
That's right.
It's a symbiotic system that was designed, and it's not a problem.
Yeah, and
but they're trying to make it a problem, trying to treat it as if it was a poison.
Well, and leaving aside whether one believes in climate change or not, the fact is that CAFE, as you pointed out previously, dates back to the Energy Policy Conservation Act and the fuel shortages of the 70s, and the whole thing was predicated on the idea that, well, we just got to do something because we're running out of oil, running out of energy. This was a conservation measure. It was put into the statute books for that reason and that reason only. And somehow, over the past several years, it has just metastasized and morphed into this nonsense about emissions. And it was never intended to be that.
You know, I think that this climate report that we saw put out by the federal government, and of course, it's been debunked by many people. I'll have more to say about that coming up. But I think that was a shot fired by the bureaucracy in Washington to make sure that this corporate average fuel economy is not changed. I think they're doubling down on that. It is more hysterical, more alarmist than anything we've even seen from the United Nations coming out of Washington. I think that is an indication that you're absolutely right. This election mattered. They're going to push back very hard with both the bureaucracy and the Democrat Congress to try to maintain these emission standards that are going to essentially confiscate our private cars and take away our choice.
Yeah, and they've had to do it because the car companies have performed a near miracle in eliminating almost entirely any of the harmful pollution that comes out of an internal combustion-powered car's tailpipe. Even the EPA's own terminology reflects this. Probably about a third of the current fleet, new cars, qualify as what the EPA terms a partial zero emissions vehicle because its emissions are so low. They're now splitting hairs over fractions. So, in other words, the reason, the justification for all of this is going away, just like the business about energy shortages. We've got plenty of gas, plenty of oil, and the cars are extraordinarily clean. So if people actually clued into that, they might begin to question this whole regime that's being shoved down their throats.
And so it's not enough, though, to have ultra-low emissions. And, of course, they're going to have the ultra-low emission zones in Europe where they said, we're not going to let anybody in here unless they're ultra-low emissions. And they keep taking that down and down and down until they get to zero emissions. Mm-hmm. And you got another article, Colorado embraces mm-hmm. the EV tar baby. Mm-hmm. I love the line that you had here. Governor John Hickenlooper warbled, we've got to protect the quality of our air and safeguard against returning to the days of the brown mm-hmm. cloud. And you say his name sounds like a Hickenlooper sounds like a name out of a villain out of an Ayn Rand novel.
He does. And you know, the guy is either immensely ignorant or enormously dishonest. The you know, the brown cloud is something that arises not because of carbon dioxide. You know, carbon dioxide does not create brown clouds. Again, you know, you want to have the discussion about global warming and climate change. That's fine. That's a discussion to have. But it's nonsense. It's not a question of opinion or disagreement. It's simply a fact that carbon dioxide does not create brown clouds. And for him to do that, it's demagoguery. It's fear mongering.
But the key is, as you're pointing out in this article about Colorado, as just one example, there are 12 states and the District of Columbia that are pushing against this, any rollback of these Obama mandates and pushing towards electric vehicles, because that's the only thing they're going to accept. They're not even going to accept in the long run hybrid vehicles, because that's what they're talking about in Europe. They're saying, we're going to get rid of even the hybrid vehicles. We don't want them to even have a backup gas generator.
That's right. Well, and people should understand, too, that even if they succeed, let's say, and we all are in our electric cars, then they're going to find a reason to ban those or regulate those and push those out. That's the agenda here. It's got nothing to do with clean air. If you look into the facts, that will become very apparent very quickly.
Well, the agenda is really to limit our mobility. That's what we're talking about. It's about liberty and it's about mobility. It's about the UN agenda for smart cities. They call it a 2030 agenda for sustainability. But by 2030, they expect to have you locked into the cities. If you can afford to rent a car by the hour, you'll be able to travel a little bit with these limited range vehicles that you rent by the hour. But they don't really intend on most people being able to even do that.
That's right. And keep in mind, too, that those vehicles will be almost entirely, if not entirely, under the control of not you, of the government or the corporations that control it.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so we see corporations now starting to maneuver and to consolidate, which also should concern people. We see Volkswagen, who was the target of punitive measures because of diesel emissions, and we've talked about that at length. Now they're having to, because of the massive fines imposed on them, they're having to make an alliance with Ford. Ford also sees itself now no longer as a car manufacturing company, but as a mobility mm-hmm. company. They're going to be doing this because they're going to be getting privileges and monopoly or duopoly control over transportation in various regions.
There's that, and also at this point, they really don't have a lot of choice. They've made a very cynical calculation. These regs are on the books. Even if Trump succeeded, Trump will potentially get replaced and they'll be reimposed. So their bet is that they're going to have to operate in a world in which they'll have to produce these so-called zero-emissions vehicles that get 50-plus miles per gallon, and that requires a wholesale change in the way that they do business.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very grim prospect, and as you pointed out, this election is going to have consequences, not good consequences for us either. We're going to have a real fight on our hands if we're going to maintain our liberty and our mobility. They don't care. We don't have an amendment to protect our movement. They don't pay attention to the First Amendment or the Second Amendment anyway. Thank you for joining us, Eric Peters.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I was talking to Eric Peters about the consequences of this last election, how the Democrats and bureaucracy are going to push back against any removal of these Obama mandates for fuel economy that are going to have the effect of essentially banning private transportation. They're going to take away your car. They're going to make you rent your car from the one or two corporations that are going to be working hand in glove with the government, just like you have Facebook, Google, and Twitter working hand in glove with the government right now to suppress our free speech. We're going to talk about that more in this hour. But I want to finish up because, you know, this report that was released last week by the bureaucracy, the National Climate Assessment, Volume 2, of the National Climate Assessment. A 1,600-page report, USA Today, says, oh, the impacts of climate change are intensifying, says a new federal report. The Earth's climate is now changing faster than at any point in the history of modern civilization, primarily as a result of human activities. That is the fake news from the government bureaucrats. That is essentially the summary of the National Climate Assessment. And they said the last few years have smashed records for damaging weather in the United States, costing nearly $400 billion since 2015. Again, blurring the lines of distinction between weather and climate. It's a big difference between weather and climate. Weather is changing all the time, and it is essentially a noisy, it is the noise, but you have to distinguish the overall long-term trend to understand what climate is. Can they do that? Well, as Breitbart points out, experts on climate change say that every conclusion of this latest government report is false. These are people from the Heartland Institute that they're talking to. They said the latest climate report is just more of the same, except for even greater exaggeration and even worse science. The Heartland Institute has published 4,000 pages. Oh, they've got 1,600 pages there, the federal bureaucracy. Well, the Heartland Institute published 4,000 pages. They call it Climate Change Reconsidered. They said those reports cite many hundreds of peer-reviewed scientific papers that show how every conclusion of this latest government report is false. This report from the climate alarmist deep state in our government is even more hysterical than some UN reports. Basically, folks, it is false alarmism. The idea that global temperatures could rise as much as 12 degrees in the next 80 years is absurd, and not a shred of actual data and observation supports that. They said this report is a scientific embarrassment. Not only does it rely on computer models to predict the climate through the end of the century, it relies on computer models from 5 years ago that have been laughably wrong, failing to even get close to reality since 2013. But of course, they're given to us by people in authority. It's an argument from authority. And these printouts, if you will, from the computer models, that's another argument from authority. Bow down and worship. Deep thought has drawn its conclusion. And you must obey the mainframe computer in this model. Garbage in, garbage out, folks. There is a mini ice age. We've had many people talk about this. I've interviewed Dr. Willie Soon many times. He studies solar activities. And a NASA scientist, another one, is warning that we may have unusual solar activity. Our sun is expected to head into its solar minimum around 2020, but it looks like it's happening earlier. Newsflash, the sun has a major effect on our climate. Who would think that? Of course, we know that's not the case, right? The sun has no effect on our climate. It's you and your car that's having an effect on it. Now, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what they say they might do about this, as if they are not doing geoengineering already. Here's the interesting thing, folks, as China has now admitted that it is doing geoengineering. Now you have mainstream media like CNN and CBS coming out saying, well, you know, we might actually do that. We might actually have purpose-built planes to deposit chemicals into the atmosphere. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's take some more look at false alarmism. And let's talk about real man-made global warming. It's called geoengineering, and they're now starting to admit it. After mocking the idea as a conspiracy theory, and for the longest time, we've had reports and we've shown, those of us that are not in the mainstream media, have shown you video of purpose-built planes. We've had whistleblowers who flew those planes. And you can see that it's not something that is merely a contrail. You can see that they are spewing out very heavily different nozzles, not coming out of the exhaust trail of the plane. You can see that these are purpose-built planes to spray particles into the atmosphere. And after China admitted that they were doing this, and of course, we've talked about this a long time, the fact that back in the 1970s, we had all the nations sign a treaty saying, we're not going to weaponize this, this capability that we have. We had President Johnson give a medal to a guy for altering the weather during the Vietnam War. And then after that, they got together and they said, we're not going to change the climate in a weaponized way. We have annual geoengineering conferences where they present papers on what they're doing and what they presumably might do. And then they say, well, the question is, who gets to set the thermostat? Because, you know, Russia might want it warmer than the United States does. The United States might want it warmer than people at the equator do. So who gets to set the thermostat for the global weather? Well, it may be more localized than that. Again, we had Skyder Alert. It was it was back when we had the Paul Revere Film Contest. They did a documentary and they did an app, which was a crowdsourced research project, essentially. People could take a picture of cross-hatched, consistent contrails, if you will, chemtrails, over their area. They could take a picture of that, and they could send it using this app. And the people who were running that said, it's kind of interesting that as we see these pictures sent to us from a particular area, we can look at the temperature there that day, and we can see that the temperature goes up. So they're actually putting up persistent contrails, if you want, or chemtrails, whatever you want to call it. And when they put those patterns up in a crosshatch pattern that persists, the temperature goes up. The sun's rays are trapped there. Now they're starting to admit this because China is openly admitting it. China doesn't really care what anybody thinks. They're out there building military bases in the South Pacific, asserting their hegemony over that area. They're openly talking about social credits, openly talking about censorship of the internet and control of dissidents. They're even rounding up Muslims into camps, and people are concerned about that. They never got concerned about that when they did it to Christians or to the Falun Gong or any other minority, but, oh, they start doing it to Muslims. Oh, now you're starting to tread on a protected group. But China doesn't care. They'll do whatever they want. And they don't care whether or not you know that they're doing geoengineering, so they're bragging about it. So now you have mainstream media outlets here in the United States this week, all on November 23rd, all on this last Friday, start to admit that they're doing geoengineering. They still talk about it as if it's a possibility. But we've shown you the videos. We've given you the testimony of people who were doing this and have been doing it for quite some time. Here's CNN, dimming the sun. Is this the answer to global warming? Actually, it's what's causing global warming locally. As I said, when they see these clouds being laid down, persistent clouds being laid down by the spring, then the temperature goes up. And then they can say, oh, look at this. This is your car. We got to take away your car because you're causing global warming. CNN says the technique would, remember, future tense, would involve spraying large amounts of sulfate particles into the Earth's lower stratosphere at altitudes as high as 12 miles. It'd be delivered with planes that were specially designed, high-altitude aircraft, balloons, or large naval-style guns. Yeah, we've already seen the pictures of what you've got. they said researchers say that developing a new purpose-built tanker with substantial payload capabilities would neither be technologically difficult nor prohibitively expensive. Yeah, because they've got a lot of experience in already doing it. They estimate the total cost of launching a hypothetical system in 15 years' time at about $3.5 billion and running costs of $2.25 billion a year over a 15-year period. Well, you know, that's a drop in the bucket considering the fact that the Department of Defense has $21 trillion that they can't account for over just the last 15 years or so. They could do this many thousands of times over. They also acknowledge that there would be potential risks. There would be a risk of coordination between multiple countries in both hemispheres that'd be required. In other words, who gets to set the thermostat? They've been talking about this for quite some time. And stratospheric aerosol injection techniques, I said, could, listen to this, jeopardize crop yields it could lead to droughts or extreme weather like we're experiencing in California, right? Yeah, as I the guest that I had on with me, Robert, a couple of weeks ago, was talking about that very thing. He said, look, nobody wants to talk about the fact that we have accumulation on the ground in these areas where there's been geoengineering going on. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that, you know, we have these unusual chemicals that are accumulating. At the same time, we have drought. We've seen the same thing in the few years I've been here in Austin, too. We went through droughts. We had a lot of chemtrails, and we had droughts. Just this last weekend, I was eating outside with the family, and we all looked up and said, look at those series of clouds. You know, they look like they're all multicolored, like you see when you spill gasoline into some water. You know, what's up with that? I don't know. Well, CBS says a controversial spraying method would aim at curbing global warming. They said a fleet of 100 planes making 4,000 worldwide missions per year could help to save the world from climate change. Planes spraying tiny sulfate particulates into the lower stratosphere around 60,000 feet up. Again, they're all talking about this same issue. They've suddenly discovered, or suddenly is safe to now talk about this as an imminent possibility when we know that it's been going on for quite some time. And again, it's creating these conditions. Another part of creating the conditions for what we see in California is leaving the standing deadwood there. And I'm glad to see that President Trump is talking about that. That's like leaving massive containers of gasoline around. But these particulate chemicals that they're spraying also have that same effect. And they also cause drought at the same time. They do cause global warming. They do cause drought. They do cause extreme weather. And the question is, what causes this? How do you address this? How do you minimize these fires once they begin? A lot of people have looked at how these fires have begun. But we need to start looking at geoengineering. We need to understand this is something that has been going on for decades. They've been planning it. They've been utilizing it. It has gone beyond the theoretical. China is talking about it. And now even the mainstream media is talking about this as they unleash it on us. And, of course, Ocasio-Cortez says people are going to die. Well, they already have. A lot of people have died in the fires of California. People have died in the fires and the riots in Paris because of this false alarmism of climate change. They're going to take away our cars, take away our fuel, take away our energy because of a situation that they have created, that they have engineered, that they don't want us to know that they've done. But thanks to the arrogance of China, like in so many other ways, they have done it quickly. And they have revealed their method, just as the European Union has revealed the method of population replacement, of taking down the true multiculturalism that used to be the rich tapestry of culture and nations throughout Europe. They're taking that down. I said, people are starting to wake up. Done it too quickly. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about the free press and how social media is now threatening people for dead naming. If you don't know what dead naming is, stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm ready for you.
Dead naming. Have you ever heard that before? You can ask all the guys, all the crew here. They'd never heard of it. This is now a new thing. As a matter of fact, you better figure out if you want to stay on Twitter what dead naming is. Because if you dead name somebody, you will now be taken off of Twitter. So what is this new crime that is so serious? Huffington Post wrote about this about a year ago. I'd never heard of this. I'm not part of this little clique here. They said, dead naming a trans person is violence. So why does the media do it anyway? Well, they talk about the case of a person who was shot. Here's how they describe it. Mesha Caldwell lived in Canton, Mississippi. She studied at Jackson State University, worked as a hair and makeup artist, winning competitive hair battles and mentoring younger beauticians in the Madison County area. She was also a black transgender woman, which I think means that this was a man who identified as a woman. I know these things because Mesha was found shot to death on January the 4th, the first of seven trans women of color to be murdered this year. Evidently because they were dead named. You know, that was, I don't think so. But the first thing I read about her was the one thing I never wanted to know. The dead name she was assigned at birth. The dead name. This is the imaginary gender mentality. It doesn't matter that it's biological, objective, and binary. No. Gender is what they imagine. You know, if you're a man and you imagine you're a woman, you're a woman. And then if you are a transgender woman, I guess that makes you a transgender woman at that point. Then as a transgender woman, if you imagine you're a dog, then you are a dog. Who am I to argue with these people, right? I mean, seriously, that really happened. That is a real story. The man who became a woman who became a dog. And we must obey this person's imagination and celebrate it and not dead name them. We can't say that this individual, this creature who now calls himself Fido, was originally a man called Joe. No, he's Fido, not Joe. Because if you call them by their original birth name, if you pay attention to their biological genitalia, which defines their gender, their genitalia tells you their gender. I mean, that's why we call it genitalia. Anyway, if you go with that, then that is a hate crime, especially according to Twitter. It's called dead naming. Referring to a person's birth name instead of their chosen name. That is now a crime that will get you banned on Twitter. So I guess I have just signed my dead name warrant on Twitter. Because, you know what, Jack? I don't give a damn about your speech rules. I don't care. I am not going to ever, ever say that 2 + 2 = 5. I'm not ever going to say that men are women. Or can be women. Not ever going to say that. You're never going to force me to say that. I don't care about your damn platform. I am not going to be dictated to. I am not going to embrace this insanity, this slouching towards Gomorrah. We're already in Gomorrah. They're now demanding that we obey the rules of Gomorrah. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So now Twitter is clamping down on anybody, feminist included, because they're not at the same level of privilege as trannies. So if I were to say that Caitlyn Jenner is Bruce Jenner, that would be dead naming. And if I call him Bruce Jenner, that's really bad. That's doubling down on that. You hear that, Jack? Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner. Twitter is now clamping down on anti-trans abuse. I'm just pointing out the insanity. And I'm saying I'm not going to be part of that insanity. I'm not going to pretend that this is not an issue. I'm not going to avoid this issue, and I'm certainly not going to embrace it and embrace your speech rules. And as I said at the top of the broadcast, I think that is the most important thing that President Trump has done. It's what people really hate about him on the left, the fact that he will not play that politically correct game. He just speaks plainly. It's like, well, you know, as they tried to impose on, I don't like the term anchor baby, said the reporter. And President Trump said, well, what do you want to call them? Well, I would call them American-born children of undocumented immigrants. And President Trump said, I think I'll call them anchor babies. Good for you. Good for you. We're not going to bow down to this speech control because that is control of us. They use these political correctness weapons as a means to control our speech and to, as a justification, to ban our speech. And they don't even need justification. They're banning people left and right for no reason at all. So I'll give them a reason to ban me. I don't really care. So they now updated their terms of service on Twitter. Any user who deliberately targets a trans person with abuse, including misgendering, I guess that would be misgendering, all right? MS gendering, and dead naming can now be reported and banned from the platform. So there you go. Ban me. I don't care. Don't care. When we see things like Celine Dion and what she did, and I talked about this last week. Frankly, I talked about the article. I did not look at the video. I want to show you this video where she is promoting her product. Go ahead and play that. We can run that as a B-roll. Or whatever. Look at her. I mean, this satanic witch. It starts out in a video. I'll just narrate it. It starts out in a video. She's running. Police are tackling her. And then it says, well, 1 hour earlier. And then it goes into a flashback. And she's in a car. She's all dressed up in makeup and so forth. And she's got a bag there with a black bag with a white cross on it. And she goes into a hospital. And you're going to see this. It's coming up here. She goes into a maternity ward. And they got all the little babies there lined up. On one side, it's all pink. And on the other side, it's all blue. And Celine Dion comes in with her black fairy dust, her demonic dust. They're the kids, pink and blue, lined up on the two eyes. She opens up her black bag and blows her black fairy dust. And all of a sudden, the kids turn the shade of black. And she's looking around like a witch. She's wearing black now. And the kids are no longer pink and blue. They're in black. And as she does that, and it happens very quickly, a hat tip to Luke Radowski, who slowed this down. Go back, take this video back a little bit and freeze it at the point where she throws out that fairy dust and the transformation happens. Freeze it there, and you can see it's a subliminal thing. It goes by very quickly. Luke caught that. It's a good find. Roll it back just a little bit more, and you can see, forward it a little bit. You can see they've actually put in cartoon demons that pop up. There you go, right there, that frame right there. Look at that. You got cartoon demons that are popping up, black demons that are popping up out of the baby bassinets there. What are they trying to tell us? They do it very quickly, passes very quickly. They've got these black demons that pop up. And she also says, when she's talking about her new line of transgender clothes, and I talked about this last week, stereotype freestyles for kids aged 0 to 14 years. And she had this to say, in case you don't understand where this satanic agenda is coming from and what they're embracing. She said, these are new styles the New Order shirts show that we're trying to make a new order in the new world. Oh, yeah, it's a new world order where there is no male and female and there is no family. And all the babies are test tube babies, just like Brave New World. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
I gotta say, what bothers me about all this is I don't really care what people do. I don't care if somebody wants to dress up like a girl. Don't make me pretend and be a part of your fantasy. And don't come after the children. That is what is so reprehensible about Celine Dion. And they make no bones about the fact that this is a globalist agenda, New World Order agenda. As I pointed out, they want to let children choose outside their stereotypes and norms. She wants to come in and sprinkle her black fairy dust over the children in the orphanage. And when I saw that picture of the orphanage, it took me back to my daughter from China when we adopted her and we got pictures of the orphanage and so forth. They actually did that. They actually took the boys and girls and they would put them in pink or blue cribs and bassinets. Even when they got to the point where they're going around those little, what do you call them, walkers or whatever, the little things that you put your kids in, they got their... got wheels around the outside so they can't tip the things over, but they can just barely touch it with their feet and they can wheel around and everything. They let the kids wheel around the orphanage and that. They had pink ones and they had blue ones. And I look at this witch going in and sprinkling black fairy dust over these kids and erasing the genders and then having black demons subliminally pop up. They flash it really quickly so you don't notice it unless you pause this thing and freeze it. Actually have demons right there, freeze it right there, popping up, little demons popping up. This witch changes into black and takes away the genders. Says, we want children to choose outside of their norms. Yeah, you do. What you're doing, Celine, is not normal. It's kind of interesting. She's an artist. It's a fallen Babylon world there, the entertainment industry. And as a 12-year-old, she had an agent who made her famous. She wound up marrying that guy. He was, I think, about 25, 26 years older than her. 12 years old. She said, we kept our love affair secret for many years. No telling what kind of stuff she was involved in. But she puts it out here. We want to give an alternative to kids of the future. The New Order shirts show we're trying to make a new order in the new world. I don't want a part of your new world. It is a perverted world. She said, this is, one of the people with her, this is our contribution, the people who are producing that shirt with her, this is our contribution to changing the world, getting rid of male and female. And Celine, being part of our journey, is amazing. Together, we can do it in such a big manner. No, not going to stand still for this, because this, folks, is where it's really headed. This Netflix movie here. Netflix reports, Hollywood Reporter, is battling a film director over underage frontal nudity. This is a film called Girl, again, about a transgender girl who is training to become a ballerina. Cannes Film Festival loved it back in May. It is now in the running for an Oscar. But it was very controversial because they included a nude scene featuring its star, 15-year-old star, full frontal nudity. Netflix has demurred. Well, I don't think we want to put that out in America. We're not ready for that. Well, maybe a few more years of Celine Dion will be ready for that, but not just yet. We don't want to do underage full frontal nudity, even if it's a transgender movie. That doesn't baptize us. But folks, that's where this is headed. That's why they are pushing to introduce this transgender cross-dressing insanity to children in kindergarten. And you don't even realize that it's being done to your kids if you turn them over to the state. This is an agenda that is coming down from Washington, from the establishment. This is why Obama was trying to blackmail schools, public and private, with Title IX funding. To say, we're going to take away your money if you don't put girls and boys together in the showers, in the dressing rooms, in the bathrooms. And that's not a theory. It's already a case that's going before the Supreme Court. When the boys had a problem with a girl being in their shower. We've had a coach that was disciplined and transferred to another school because he didn't want to monitor girls coming into the boys' shower room. And so this other case, so the girl in the shower for the boys, and their parents didn't like it, they didn't like it, and they're having to fight this to the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court is going to set there those people in black. We're going to tell us whether or not that can happen in our families, in our lives. And we, like slaves, let them dictate this kind of stuff to us, just like they dictated the definition of marriage because we didn't have the courage to define it ourselves. We turned it over to the government, and then the government turned it into what it is today, a mockery. A mockery. And this is basically where this goes, folks. As I've said many times, if you're going to maintain the kids in kindergarten, kids prior to puberty, prior to adulthood, kids who we say are not responsible enough to drink, not responsible enough to have a gun, not responsible enough to drive a car, but they can make decisions about their gender even before they have experienced puberty, even while they're in kindergarten. This is nothing other than an effort to groom our children, to pretend that they have the maturity to make these decisions about their gender. So these perverts running our governments can have sex with them and not go to jail. They've already reduced and removed the statute of limitations. So that when you got somebody like Dennis Hastert, you have to try to send him to jail for some kind of imaginary crime of taking out his money, his own money out of the bank to pay off of blackmailers. Can't send him to jail for the real crime of molesting a child. You have to make up something that is not a crime so you can send him to jail. This is the pathetic state of our current country and our culture. Absolutely amazing that they do this. And so you have Twitter out there threatening people, saying, you talk about transgenderism, you refer to people by their biological birth name, or you refer to them by their biological identity, and we'll take you off of Twitter. Well, fine. Because they just banned an Iraq combat vet, congressional candidate Jesse Kelly. He came within 1% of winning a congressional election. And now they have taken him off, ironically, after he just appeared on Tucker Carlson to talk about arbitrary censorship on social media. If he wants to try to run again, he's going to be at a disadvantage if he's taken off of social media. And the solution, folks, is not government control. The solution is to stop government control. Government control is why they're doing this. Jack Dorsey is doing what the military-industrial complex and the establishment want him to do. They want this agenda of transgenderism pushed. They want these other agendas pushed. And he is doing what they want him to do, just like these people do what the Chinese communist government want them to do. What the government should do is say, we have a First Amendment, and government isn't going to take away people's free speech, and neither are big private companies that own the public square. Jack Dorsey has said that Twitter is the public square. We've had the Supreme Court say that even if the public square is privately owned, it will not be censored. It's just that simple. But that's not what they want. Because people, both Republican and Democrat, people like Marco Rubio, want the government to censor people that are telling the truth about them. They want them to censor that. And they will come up with any kind of justification, including dead naming, to censor people off of Twitter. They're not going to say, we're censoring you because you opposed foreign wars. They're not going to say, we're censoring you because you exposed the crimes of the CIA. They'll come out and say, we're going to censor you because you bullied our friends, the transgenders. We know what it's about. We know where it's coming from. We know that these organizations that are behind this are allied with the military-industrial complex. And the people on the left who are buying into this because right now it fits their political paradigm are just useful idiots. And already some on the left have been banned because they opposed foreign wars and other issues. They don't have to give a reason now. They've done it enough that they can ban anybody at any time for no reason at all. Stay with us. We'll be right back. One more segment, and I want to talk a little bit about censorship and where it's really coming from. And we had some tweets by a Newsweek writer that I think really kind of lay this out very clearly for anybody to see that wants to see it. I'm going to explain that to you here in just a moment. But before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what keeps us funded and keeps us on the air as they try to censor us on social media. We have all InfoWars Life supplements now 50% off as part of our Black Friday InfoWars store sale. We have free shipping store-wide. We have discounts up to 75% off, free shipping, double Patriot points. Again, Patriot points are our reward system. You get double points right now as part of this sale. We have the gifts categorized by the amounts, like under $25 or under $50, under $100. We have it by sex, because we do actually still recognize different genders and sex here at InfoWars. And we even have stocking stuffers. So you can take a look at the gifts there. Again, up to 75% off store-wide, plus free shipping, plus double Patriot points. Here's an example of some of the sales. We've got 50% off storable food, and that is a big ticket item. That is a big savings along with free shipping. We also have $123 savings. It's all about half off of the Alexa Pure Pro Gravity Water Filtration System, the large one, about $123 you save off of that right now. The Alexa Pure Breeze, which is the air purifier, that is now 40% off. And again, free shipping, up to 75% off some of the products store-wide, and double Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, so I was talking about censorship and about how this congressional candidate, war veteran, has just been taken off of Twitter. No explanation given. None needed, right? Because it's private property. No, no. We don't surrender our human rights. We don't surrender our God-given rights to corporations any more than we surrender them to governments. And if we have a government that won't defend that, then it's time to alter or abolish that government, quite frankly. And if you want to know where this is coming from, all of the people out there on the left who are applauding this, here's a good example of where this is coming from. We have, and I reported this last week, The Newsweek writer, Nina Burley, and she put out the tweet, almost every single person I've heard of with an AR-15 has been a mass murderer. Based on Twitter sample, the rest of them are scarily paranoid. And she tweeted that to Joe Biggs as he was taking on the Democrat politicians who are bragging about the fact that they were going to confiscate guns and offer a reward. People, a carrot. If you don't take the carrot, then they've got a stick for you. They're going to take it by force. If you resist that force, they'll use bombs on you. Had multiple Democrat politicians talking about that. Swalwell out of California and so forth. And so she goes on and says, yeah, they're all mass murderers or paranoid. I responded to that. She took down her tweet with that because, you know, that's the way these people roll. Her response is to delete the tweet. And then the next part of her response is to delete the people who criticize her tweet. First of all, you've got to know they're all Russian bots and they need to be deleted. So anybody that disagrees with her, she's going to hide what she put up there because she can't defend it. She can't debate it. She can't win that argument because it's a lie and she knows it. And then she will try to delete the people who respond to her. And that's precisely what she did. She also bragged about it. She said, in less than 24 hours, this tweet got more than 4,000 replies. I don't read them, and I assume the majority are pro-NRA Russian bots. You know, because if you're the NRA, you are a Russian bot, according to these people. They don't have to identify. They don't have to. They can tell themselves that they're not running from a debate if they identify you as a Russian bot. Everybody they disagree with is a Russian bot and not worthy of being talked to. But, of course, they themselves are non-playable characters. She said, thanks for stepping up, comrades. I hope you're ready to be checked by Secure Democracy and Rob Hat Labs, or Robot Labs is actually, I guess, the way you pronounce that. It's R-O-B-H-A-T-L-A-B-S. Now, in case you don't know what those two organizations are, they are fulfilling the function that the Southern Poverty Law Center has fulfilled for Democrats for quite some time and for the establishment, labeling anybody that they disagree with as being a dangerous, violent terrorist, right? That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center does. Now, what these people do is they identify anybody that they disagree with as being a Russian bot. And if you go to those two sites and look at them, and I've talked about this before, these are the people who identified Robot Labs, again, spelled R-O-B-H-A-T, Robot Labs. They're the people who bragged about the fact that this is their tweet that's pinned at the top. They did this just before the election. Twitter deletes accounts after being alerted by Democrats working with Robot Labs. And, of course, they have their different applications called Hoaxly and Botmeter, Botometer is what it's called. If you look at their site, they have a word cloud thing, where they look at all the different fake news that's out there. And, of course, at the time, it was all about the border and so forth. Because if you criticize their policies, you're obviously a robot. And if you're concerned about the Florida election and the recount and so forth and steal the vote, you're a robot. And so that was what was in their cloud stuff. And these people are, again, creating robots that identify you as a robot because you disagree with them. They feed this information to the Democrats. The Democrats then give it to Twitter, and Twitter dutifully deletes all these accounts because they've been identified by the Democrats and their surrogates as robots. They bragged about the fact they were able to do that to 10,000 people. Then you have the other one that she referenced, Securing Democracy. The Alliance for Securing Democracy, a bipartisan transatlantic initiative. This is the one, folks, that is associated with Jamie Fly, the guy who was bragging about the fact that they were going to do more than just shut down 10,000 accounts. They had another 90,000 accounts they wanted to get rid of. They wanted to go beyond that. They wanted to shut down entire organizations by strangling them financially, by taking their websites down, seizing their websites. Jamie Fly is a member of the Atlantic Council. He's a member of the military-industrial complex. He's a neocon, and these liberals are shilling for them. It's the establishment. They're coming after conservatives. They're coming after libertarians. They're coming after liberals, anybody who is not part of the establishment. And this shill, Nina Burley, who works for Newsweek, gets that. And she said, oh, yeah, I've just reported you to these people. So now you're going to be robots, and they're going to take you down. They identify you as robots. They send that list to the Democrats, and the Democrats send that list to Twitter, and you're gone. You're gone. Then you have this on Twitter. New York Times gets religion on info ops and likens them to germ warfare. This is Virginia Hefferman. She says, it's time for a formal functional MRI of cognitively vulnerable people turned compulsive when seized by disinformation from Fox News. See, now Fox News. It was InfoWars. Now it's Fox News. It was InfoWars. Then it was another 800 to 1,000 organizations who opposed the police state, who opposed the surveillance state, who opposed foreign wars, who opposed the CIA. They were all Russian bots, of course, because they were enemies of the military-industrial complex, of the neocons, of NATO, of the Atlantic Council. And now these people, these dangerous people, have gone beyond the McCarthyism of the 1950s. They have gone and embraced Stalinism. You must be insane, certifiably insane. As a matter of fact, we can probably put your brain into, we can examine it with a functional MRI to look at its activity. And we can see that you're crazy, that you've been driven crazy by disinformation from Fox News and other sources. Referencing a Newsweek, New York Times story, Operation Infection, and they spell it with a K, not a C. A three-part video series, a conspiracy theory produced by the New York Times. And they actually even use the Eye of Sauron there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to know what the real Eye of Sauron is? It's the metrics coming from companies like Palantir, the data miners who are out there doing the Minority Report pre-crime information. There's a story on Zero Hedge talking about all the information that these various internet companies have on you. It's absolutely astounding to go down the table and look at what they have. And now we have Democrats pushing a gun bill that require buyers to hand over their social media passwords and their history before you're allowed to get a gun. This is how they are weaponizing speech, folks. This is how they're weaponizing and attacking any kind of free thought. And this is why I say, even more so than banning guns, they're going first. As social media, as a surveillance tool, as a weapon, they're using political correctness to attack your free speech. And that is why what President Trump is doing in terms of getting in their face is what we all need to do. More of that. That's our show for today. Thanks for joining us.